Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, on this Thursday morning. Hope you are having a great day. And we have plenty of topics to talk about today. We are going to start off with some NBA news, looking at John Wall and the Rockets agreeing to mutually part ways and find a trade partner for the point guard. We have Aaron Gordon and the Nuggets agreeing to a 4-year extension. We have some Kyrie Irving trade news. Then switching over to the NFL, we have Urban Meyer leaving for USC, maybe. DeMarcus Lawrence having a apparent foot injury at practice. And then we have the preview for the Thursday night football matchup, Giants at Washington. And we'll see all the key points with that. All right, so starting off with John Wall. So it was reported yesterday that, 2 days ago, sorry about that, 2 days ago that the point guard and the Rockets will be finding a trade deal for the point guard, who is a veteran, 31 years of age. Thoughts on it? Not really sure what to think about it. Obviously, John Wall has a massive contract, and whoever's going to be taking that contract should be getting extra compensation in return for the veteran point guard. He is due $91.7 million over the next 2 seasons, including a player option for $47.4 million in the 2022-2023 season. There's a couple teams who have been interested. Detroit, the Clippers. I saw a trade with Miami, which doesn't make sense considering they have Victor Oladipo and they just added Kyle Lowry in the offseason. So, not a big fan of the Miami trade, but we'll see what happens with that. If a trade is not put through and can't be found, there will be a possible buyout, maybe. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I don't think John Wall is washed up. I don't see him as one of those top tier point guards who will take your team from an 8 seed to a 1 seed. I'm not really that big on John Wall. I do think he adds value if you're like a team like a Clippers and you want to make a big playoff push this upcoming year. He might take you over the hump. That would be big for the Clippers, considering they didn't have a really playmaker point guard who is kind of an X factor that you have to worry about on defense. Reggie Jackson and Rajon Rondo were good. Rondo wasn't really that great in the playoffs. He wasn't really utilized right. Reggie Jackson did play very well in the playoffs, but he wasn't really a guy you really necessarily had to worry about. He's not a guy I would consider, oh, we have to double him or watch him, watch him. That's not who Reggie Jackson is. I do think John Wall could be that if he was added to the Clippers. But the point guard averaged 21-7 in 40 games last year with the Rockets. So he's not bad. He's overpaid. And I think that shrinks his market significantly. If he was getting paid, for example, in the 30s, middle 30s, that would probably open up another team or two. If he was getting paid 25, maybe 30 million, I think half of the teams in the league who don't have a point guard would easily go for John Wall. But the contract is just, it's not great. Obviously, Wall was traded last year or last offseason for Russell Westbrook and additional picks. So it was kind of a bad contract swap between the two teams. And Washington did get extra compensation for, or sorry, the Rockets got extra compensation for John Wall. I see why the Rockets want to do this. They want to we restart, refresh, start young. They just drafted a point guard in this draft, Jalen Green, who in the summer league did look solid, very good. So they just want to kind of rebuild the roster, retool it. They also want to build around Christian Wood, who is a great young center. I think he is one of the more underrated players, and he was great last year until he had to, or until he got injured. I do see that he is 31. It would worry me a little bit because if you look at a lot of the kind of ages for the point guards that are more physical point guards, 32 is kind of the drop-off point for veteran point guards who rely more on athleticism. So Russell Westbrook is getting to that point. Obviously, if you're like a shooter like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, I don't think that age really necessarily matters as much if you're not relying on athleticism as much. Yes, Klay Thompson's defense won't be as great since he hasn't played in two seasons, and defense does require more athleticism, so obviously will be great. It's going to be hard to find John Wall a potential trade partner just because in this league, everybody is going to three-point shooting. John Wall isn't a great three-point shooter, and he's not a great defender. So it's kind of a Russell Westbrook-esque type of player where, yeah, he was great years ago when he was in his physical prime and three-point shooting wasn't as big, but everybody's just shooting threes now except for, what, Milwaukee and sometimes Phoenix. You got to rely on the three-point nowadays, and Wall and Westbrook, just they're not that type of player. It doesn't help that John Wall is a defensive liability as well, so not only he can't really space the floor that well, he isn't a great defender, so it won't be the greatest fit. I do think the Clippers is the best place for him to go just because he can be all the offense he wants. He doesn't really have to worry about defense much because they got Kawhi and Paul George. So Wall can just be 95% defense, 5%. Sorry, 95% offense, 5% defense. And Kawhi can worry about more defense. Paul George can worry about more defense. And return, John Wall takes more of the offensive load off PG-13 and Kawhi. So I do think if they can match the salaries and make that work and get John Wall for a good value, I do think that would be a great pickup. I don't know what John Wall's value would be. I'm guessing no more than, God, maybe no more than like two or three first round picks max. I don't see him going for three first round picks. I see him maybe going for a first round pick and a mid tier player. Maybe like a six man or a bench. But I don't see a big trade market for John Wall, considering age, athleticism, contract, just where he is in his career right now. Next up, Aaron Gordon and the Nuggets agree to a 4-year, $92 million extension. I do see Aaron Gordon as a pretty good player. He's not one of those, I have to have him on my team, but he is a great, solid veteran piece. Obviously, he was traded last year at the trade deadline, going from Orlando to the Nuggets. It is quite interesting. Aaron Gordon, I feel like he's been in the league for so long, but yet he's only 26. He turned 26, actually, today. So happy birthday to Aaron Gordon. He didn't do the greatest in his venture with the Nuggets, but they did trade for him, so what was he going to be, a rental piece? I do think they got him on a pretty good contract because what is that, 23 million annually? It does say that the 4-year extension is 88 million base in salary, and it gets 4 million in incentives. So obviously that's not that bad. It's only 22 million a year, and then adding maybe an extra million depending on what the incentives are. So Gordon averaged 12.4 points, 5.7 rebounds, and 3.2 assists in the 20 games, 25 games in Denver. In the postseason, he did pretty well. He didn't do as great as I was hoping he would be for the Nuggets, considering he's not really like the face of the defense or offense. He can kind of just put up his stats, be a good player, and kind of sneak under the radar. But he didn't do too bad. I do think that was a pretty good contract extension for a player like him. Obviously, the contracts are just crazy in the NBA right now. So everybody, like, you're seeing six man players, like bench players, getting upwards of 10, 15, 20 million, which is just crazy. Like, you see Lonzo Ball, he just got an extension. What was it, 22 million a year or something like that with the Bulls? Obviously, I do think that's a very good value for Lonzo, but obviously, like I'm trying to say, I do see in a year or two this Aaron Gordon contract being a very, very suitable contract for what, 26, 28 teams in the league. So last topic on the NBA, we have Kyrie Irving. There was a little bit of trade news yesterday or 2 days ago. It's hard to keep track with this stuff. There was a little bit of trade news with Kyrie Irving. He was asked if he was traded hypothetically from Brooklyn, what would happen? And he said, "I just simply retire," which I do see why he would say that. Personally, I'm not the biggest fan of Kyrie Irving. Not because I'm a Boston, not a Boston fan, but I do live in Boston, so I have a little bit of bias because this is my home. But I do see Kyrie Irving as a good piece on any championship team. I don't have to think about him personality wise. I do know that he is a great player. I just don't think since he's left LeBron, he's been that great of a player. Or a teammate to any of the teammates he's had. Obviously, teammates will deny it, but we all know his venture with Boston those 2 seasons was just a train wreck. Kyrie Irving is a little bit wonky, I think. He's a great player, though, don't get me wrong. When he's on the court, 100% healthy, there's no one with a layup package like him. No one who has handles like him. He's clutch. He's a clutch player. He can drop 40, 50 any night he wants. He can break any of your best defenders' ankles. He is one of the more unstoppable offensive players in the league, and that has significant value. Just wasn't. I don't know why he would say something like that. It doesn't create any good news for him. The media already portrays him as kind of a 50% in, 50% out kind of player. So I don't know why he would say something like that, which would only stir up negative thoughts about him in the media. So obviously, it's not great considering that was trending on Twitter for about a whole day. But the man can do what he wants. He's making 9 figures in his contract. So, hey, would I be in his place? Damn right I would be. But yeah, I obviously he's not going to get traded from Brooklyn. Why would he? There's no point of trading him. So now we're switching over to the NFL. We have a couple topics. We have Urban Meyer was asked if he was leaving for USC, since USC did fire their head coach a couple days ago as well, earlier this week. I don't see Urban Meyer leaving for USC. Obviously, he said in a press conference he's here to stay in Jacksonville. Why would he go to Jacksonville and then just go back to college football immediately, within one game? So, obviously, that he shut those rumors down very quickly, which is good, because in the NFL you don't want a lot of noise, particularly if you're a newer head coach with a younger roster. Obviously, if I was Urban Meyer, I wouldn't leave Jacksonville. I would stay for the time being. I do think that team is a couple-year rebuild, at least 4 to 5 years. That team is looking very rough. They don't have a lot of cornerstone pieces. Like, the only cornerstone pieces I would consider they got is Trevor Lawrence, which is, God, you can get so much for Trevor Lawrence. Miles Jack, the linebacker, and Josh Allen, the linebacker, or the defensive lineman as well. I do think that's some of their more pieces that they have. I don't think they have many talented pieces on that roster. Obviously, they have Chenault, the wide receiver, who's a good player, second-year player, but obviously I wouldn't consider him a number one. So I do see Urban Meyer staying for a while, and unless things really blow up in the next year or two, I see him staying there for at least 4 to 5 seasons. Because what his reputation is taking crappy organizations and teams and just rebuilding them from the ground up. So that's exactly what Jacksonville does need right now. So I think he is a great fit for Jacksonville. Not big on the Tim Tebow stuff, but we all know he was just doing Tim Tebow a solid favor as a friend. Next up, huge news yesterday in the NFL. DeMarcus Lawrence had a apparent foot injury at practice, so he will be out indefinitely. They have not had an MRI yet, but hopefully that will be coming through today. But that is a huge piece for Dallas on defense. He had a pretty good game against Tampa Bay. Nothing crazy, but he did have a pretty good game. He didn't have any sacks, but he had pressures, hurries, tackles for a loss. So he played great, just didn't have a sack. But I do think that is a big blow to Dallas, considering their defense was a... Dallas just needs a bend, not break defense, and now it's a break defense, because at least before you didn't have to blitz extra linemen, but now with DeMarcus Lawrence out, you probably, if you want to get any pressure, if you're not facing like a Giants offensive line, you're gonna have to blitz, and that's not gonna be great. Obviously, Dallas is playing the Chargers. Chargers offensive line is a good offensive line, but I don't think they're there yet, considering they have, what is it, 3 new offensive linemen this offseason, who still have to gel and get better together. So that is a big blow to Dallas for sure. But good news is they are in the NFC East, so they still have definitely a shot to win that division, depending on how fast DeMarcus Lawrence comes back from that foot injury. But no news has come yet. DeMarcus Lawrence DeMarcus Lawrence said he will be back and ready for war, believe it. He said that on Twitter yesterday. Okay. Another little tidbit of news is Gerald McCoy is out with a knee injury for a season-ending knee injury, actually. You got to feel for the guy. He, multi-time Pro Bowler, great veteran player to have on your team. He was on Dallas, and then he didn't even play a single snap for Dallas, and he had a season-ending injury last year. And then week one against the Ravens, he had a season-ending knee injury. Max Crosby did say he feels for the guy. He's a great teammate, so obviously that's got a feel for Gerald McCoy for sure. But this is the NFL. Nothing is guaranteed. Your career could be over in one play. Look at Ryan Shazier. His career ended in one play. So obviously you can't take nothing for granted. Definitely, you got to feel for the guy for sure. Obviously, Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor is excited for his return in Cleveland. Obviously, Taylor did play for Cleveland a couple years ago. He left the Browns in 2019, before Baker Mayfield got there. He's hoping that he will have a great week against Cleveland in week one or week two, sorry. Obviously, we'll see what happens. Tyrod Taylor did play pretty great in week one against the Jags, so we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, we have the last little tidbit of news for today. We have the Thursday night game, Giants at Washington. We'll see what happens with that. The Giants did rule out starters Evan Ingram and Shane Lemieux for a Thursday night game, so not great considering Evan Ingram is a great I wouldn't say great, I would say a good player. He's a tight end for the Giants, and guard Shane Lemieux. Not good considering the Giants' offensive line is awful already to begin with, and they're going against Washington, so not great. But we'll see what happens. I do see this being a close game. I think it'll come down to more of a defensive battle, so I do think points will be more of a points will come at a premium tonight, you could say that. Obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick is out for many weeks with his injury. Saquon Barkley, we'll see how he bounces back. He didn't have a great week one, but he did say he was getting the jitters out because it was his first game back from his season-ending injury last year. So see what happens with that. Obviously, I think the most key to this game is, can the Giants' offensive line handle Washington's defensive line? That I think that will control the whole game right there. If the Giants' offensive line can control the Washington's defensive line, then I do see the Giants winning this game. But we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, the Giants don't have a great offensive line. With injuries, it makes it even worse. And just with Giants, you're gonna need all the offensive linemen you can get right now. I do see the Giants winning this game tonight. I don't know. It can go back and forth, honestly. Like I said, it just depends on that offensive line for the Giants. It all depends on that. But I also seeing if Taylor Heinicke can get something going. then obviously it's the game's over. Obviously, if Washington can get anything going on offense, then the game's over. For sure. But like I said, I would bet Washington on the over this game, just because I want to say the line was 3 points. I would definitely take Washington over 3 points this game, especially with the linemen out and Evan Ingram out. That's just less offensive pieces you got to worry about if you're the Washington defense. I do see this being a pretty low scoring game. I see it something like 17 to 20, 14 to 17. I see it. I don't see it in the 30s at all, or even mid 20s. I don't think there's enough firepower on offense for either team to get anything going. I do see this as a controlling the clock type of game. So whoever wins the time of possession, and who can kick the most field goals, I see that as a win for sure. And we'll see if Daniel Jones can clean up his mistakes and his turnovers, because obviously, as a Giants fan like myself and many others, we are sick of Daniel Jones fumbling the fucking ball and just losing it. Like, the man has the most turnovers, I think, in the first like 2 seasons or 3 seasons, in any player in NFL history. So obviously not great. We'll see if he can clean up that. And can Jason Garrett be any more or any less boring on offense and predictable? The man was just flat out awful playing right last week with the play calling. It was not good. It was one of the more predictable offenses you could possibly see. As a person sitting on the couch, I probably could have did a less predictable offense than what Jason Garrett came out with. And to be fair, that is kind of why he was fired from Dallas. It was one of the more predictably, it was more of the predictable offenses when he was the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. But we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, it's a Thursday morning. This was a shorter podcast, but not as much to talk about. We kind of went through things pretty quickly today. Obviously, as the season goes through more, we'll have more to talk about, but there's not a lot of games we can talk about, or stories. I don't want to talk about the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. So I don't see that getting that much attention. I think he'll bounce back week two against the Lions, but we'll see what happens with that. Everybody, hope you have a great Thursday morning and rest of your day. If you have any comments, questions, anything you'd like to add, just feel free to comment or anything. Obviously, I'd love your comments or questions, or leave a question. I can add it in this podcast, and I can talk about it during the next podcast. So it would make it a little bit easier and better flow of the next podcast. So obviously, have a great rest of your Thursday, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you for listening.